In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. I thought that I would begin talking about the matinal resurrectional gospels for a little while, because during this season of Pascha, all of the matinal resurrectional gospels are read in church on Sunday, and also a few sprinkled throughout some of the weeks, like we just read one from Luke during Bright Week. And the reason why all 11 are read is because the Paschal season is preeminently about the resurrection. And since there are 11 Gospels, they're squeezed into this period of time between Pascha and Pentecost. And these Gospels have several things to teach us. In total, one should look at the resurrectional Gospels, which are read at Matins normally, on Sunday, the Sunday Matins, every single Sunday of the year, unless it's a great feast of the Lord, the matinal resurrectional gospel in order from 1 through 11 and then cycling back is read. And the reason they are read is because the resurrection is the keystone of our faith. Without the resurrection, our Lord's life would be meaningless and our faith would be in vain, as the apostle says. And also because we should know things about the resurrection. We should know how it happened. We should know how people reacted to it. We should know those details. They're important to know. And also, especially, all of the resurrectional gospels teach us something very, very important. Each one does. And that is, the resurrection is hard to believe. Now, anybody who says that they're a Christian, unless they're really strange in their theology, and there are such people, says they believe in the resurrection. But I tell you, and the church tells you, it's hard to believe, because the actions of the apostles show you that it was hard to believe. Not just in saying that it's a fact that occurred, because believing in something and not acting upon it is useless. To believe in the resurrection is to become like the resurrection, to become in the image of God, the one who was resurrected. So it's difficult to believe in the resurrection. And we see in the matinal gospels, all 11 of them, how the resurrection touched flesh and blood human beings, and how in some cases they were very slow to even believe the facts of the resurrection. We can see this in the Gospel of Matthew, which is the first one. But before we start to talk about this gospel, we did something very important, and it ties into the fact that the resurrection is hard to believe. And that is, we close the doors during that stikeren, which says, while the doors were shut, as our Vladika Peter has taught us to do. The doors were open from Pascha all the way until we close them tonight. Why do we open them and why do we close them? We open them to show the grace of God is shown forth upon us in abundance, overflowing. And we close them not because the grace of God is shut off to us, but because we, in our weakness, cannot assimilate all the grace that God wishes to give to us. It takes time to become stronger in order to become able to have all of the grace of God. It's much like a man who has not eaten and starved for a long period of time. He can't have rich food right away. He has to build up to it slowly. We cannot have all of the rich food of God. All of the grace that God wishes to bestow upon us is too much for us. And so the doors being closed always for me is a sad time. That's not what God intended. That was not the intent of Him creating Adam and Eve, for them to lose grace. And it is not His intent even to this day for us to have limits in how much of His grace we can appropriate. But it's just a fact that we're weak. And so when the doors are closed, I think you should think like I do. It's really a tragedy that we cannot hold on to all of the grace of God that he wishes to give us. But there are ways to be able to hold on to his grace. We know them. To forgive, to pray, to fast, to read the scriptures with expectation, to humble ourselves. These are ways that we become stronger so that we can hold on to his grace. So there are 11 in Gospels, as I said. Matthew, there's only one, 2 from Mark, 3 from Luke, and then the balance from St. John. St. John wrote his gospel after the other ones had been written. So he basically looked at and saw what was not covered by the other synoptics and concentrated on certain things. And more of his gospel is dedicated to the last week of our Lord's life and the 40 days after the resurrection than anybody else. That's why there are 5 resurrectional gospels for St. John. So the first one, though, is from Matthew. And Matthew is sort of summarizing. If you read his gospel, he jumps very, very quickly from the resurrection, and all of a sudden he says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them." And he's describing the ascension. And obviously this happened quite some time after the Lord had been resurrected, 40 days. And then he says something really amazing. "And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." The resurrection had occurred. Thomas had said, "My Lord and my God." He had appeared to the fishermen, and Peter had dragged the net full of fish, 153, and yet the net did not break. All those things happened. And he had other appearances with them that are not recorded. And some doubted. That's a lesson for us. The resurrection's hard. Because the resurrection is not according to natural things. It's a spiritual thing. So it's difficult to believe. Now some of those that doubted became those ones that doubted still became great apostles. So it's not the doubt itself that is harmful to you. It is that if you do not labor in the midst of the doubt, that's the critical thing. The apostles had much time with Christ before his crucifixion. They had time with him after. He taught them many things in word and in deed and in private sessions when he explained all of the parables that he said. We have examples of where he explained outright to them in the gospel, but it says he explained the parables when he was in private, so those explanations are not recorded, most of them. There were ups and downs. There were times when he rebuked them, times when he praised them. And in the midst of all that, with all of those things that happened, 3 years plus 40 days, and there were still some that doubted. And so we need time with Christ. Are we any different than the apostles? Are we better than they? I don't think so. Can we afford to not read the scripture, to not read the Psalter, to not say our prayers, to not fast, to not focus on the services? I think that's very dangerous, because believing in the resurrection is difficult. Just saying you believe the resurrection occurred doesn't prove anything. Do you live according to the resurrection? So it takes effort and time and seasoning to live according to the resurrection. It took time for the apostles. It's taking time for us. This point, this idea, is present in all of the resurrectional gospels. And then Jesus came and spake to them, saying, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth." This is showing that he is God. If he has all power, that must mean that he is God. Of course, he's man and also God. This is something that only God can say. So he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And he links two things together that are very critical baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and also teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So baptizing someone brings them into the church, but then they must also be taught to observe the commandments that the Lord gave us. Now, he gave the original ten. He was the one whose back parts Moses saw. But he also expounded upon the commandments, especially in, for instance, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, and the smaller one that is a different sermon in Luke, but on some of the same subject matter, and many other things. His commandments we must follow. So baptizing makes a man capable of following the commandments, and then he's got to go off and do it and struggle to follow. Christianity is always about morality. We live in an age now, even among some people who are weak that call themselves Orthodox, that do not equate Christianity with morality. This is impossible, because Christianity is to become like the Lord Jesus Christ. So baptizing and teaching are synonymous. They must be together. They're not synonymous, that's the wrong word, but you know what I mean. They must be together. You can't have baptizing without teaching. And teaching is not effective until a person is enlightened. And of course, this formula that he gives us, we use to this day. We baptize in the name of the Holy Trinity. And baptize, of course, the word baptizo means to immerse. So we follow our Lord. There's no reason not to follow him. His commandments are good and just and true. So he says, immerse in the name of the Trinity, and that's what we do. That is what true baptism is. Immersion in water in the name of the Trinity. One other point. At the end, he says, I am with you always, even unto, or some translations would say, till the end of the world. Amen. This word, till, or unto, is a word that is used several times in the scripture, and it is often used in a context where it means up to and including going past an event. He's not with us until the end of the world, and then he leaves us. That's nonsense. No, nobody would believe that. Well, then, in the same way, Mary did not know Joseph till she brought forth her firstborn. We understand that that usage of the word is identical to here. She did not know her non-husband husband, as that wonderful sermon that I read on Good Friday says, by St. Epiphanius, before the birth of Christ, nor after. May God help us when we read these Gospels to apply them to ourselves. Understand that believing in the resurrection is hard, so therefore it's something we better labor about. And God will help us do this. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.